At least one in four older people with dementia have a form of neurodegeneration that's only been discovered relatively recently. It's called LATE, standing for, wait for it, limbic predominant age-related TDP43 encephalopathy. And a group of international researchers has called for more consistent testing and research to find out more about it. The existence of LATE in such high numbers could help to explain why drugs for Alzheimer's disease have been so spectacularly unsuccessful. They're off target. Peter Nelson was first author on the paper. He's professor of pathology at the University of Kentucky.
LATE is a subtype of a disease that can lead to a dementia syndrome. There are a number of different diseases that underlie this clinical syndrome. And LATE is a very common subtype of the diseases that can contribute to the dementia syndrome.
What does someone with LATE show?
Tends to show impairment of short-term memory that can get worse and worse and then culminate in the dementia syndrome. So why is it important to know that there's more than one disease? Well, for one thing, we're not going to be able to cure them until we be able to tease apart these pathways. For another thing, for a given person who has an impairment, the different diseases have different natural histories. So LATE, when it's by itself, has a trajectory of memory loss that is not as bad as Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is more devastating and is more swift. However, the kicker is that frequently both LATE and Alzheimer's disease are present in the same person, and in those circumstances, the impairment is even more swift than with Alzheimer's. So the combination seems to be worse than either by themselves.
LATE tends to affect people aged over 80. Does it affect young people as well?
Finding out about the younger people would require a lot of research, but it definitely seems to be most vulnerable among people that are the latest portion of the human aging spectrum.
And what's going on in the brain?
The brain is getting stuffed up with protein junk.
But it's not the same protein junk as in Alzheimer's disease.
Correct. There are different types of protein that are leading to it and different genetic changes that contribute to the syndrome as well.
Is there anything unusual about this junk? Because the research focused on the junk in Alzheimer's disease has been spectacularly unsuccessful, so-called amyloid and tau. Anything special about your junk?
No, it's just a different subtype of junk, and it has the usual caveats that we haven't been able to clear out the Alzheimer's junk, and we may not be able to clear out the TDP43, which is the name of this protein junk. But one of the big reasons that we've been successful is that we need, for the clinical trial's sake, to be able to try to dissect out during life who has which junk and to develop therapies that are oriented towards that specific type of protein junk.
So if you took 100 people aged 80 with dementia, what proportion do you guess have LATE?
Well, we've done community-based studies, which are about 25% of people over age 80 that would have LATE associated with cognitive impairment.
That's huge.
It's very huge, but it's not quite as big as Alzheimer's disease, but it's right up there in terms of the scale.
What's the heredity of LATE, if any?
There are several genes that have been linked to LATE that are distinct from Alzheimer's.
If you take Alzheimer's, the genetics are, if you get the early onset, it's autosomal dominant, meaning it's a 1 in 2 chance you pass it on to your children. If you get any sense of the family transmission of LATE?
Yeah, it's sort of a similar thing that you're 2-3 times more likely to be affected if you have a parent or other first-degree relative that's affected.
A couple of genes are known which predispose you to Alzheimer's disease. There's one called APOE4, which is related to cardiovascular risk, and cardiovascular risk itself is a risk factor for Alzheimer's as well as vascular dementia. What are the risk factors for LATE?
That is still a controversial area where we're sort of in early days, but there's some interesting implications that maybe autoinflammation and thyroid disease may be related to risk for LATE, and it could be that Alzheimer's actually is by itself. It can stimulate some people to go over into a misfolding protein condition that also promotes LATE.
As you talk about protein misfolding, it does raise the issue of infection as a cause of dementia, which many people have spoken about, prions and maybe even viruses and unusual reactions to them. Is there any sense that infection could be a cause of LATE?
No implication of that yet, and that's a very controversial area with Alzheimer's as well. There's so many things we don't know. I think it's very analogous to the 1990s and before with cancer, where we were just blasting everybody with poisons and hoping that the poisons would kill the cancer before it killed the person. But around the 1990s, we started to really grapple with the complexity of what cancer is, and we realized that there are multiple different cancers. Even lung cancers, there's dozens of different types of cancers. They have different pathways. They have different biochemical signatures. If you can make diagnoses during life about those signatures and then develop therapies for those signatures, you can do what we've now done 20, 30 years later, which is to enable us to start bending the survival curve of people that are victims of cancer. Understanding late is part of the grappling with the complexity of dementia that's going to enable us to have ultimate success.
How many more lates do you think are waiting there to be discovered?
Great question. That's knowing about the unknown. The aged brain is the most complicated thing on the planet. The initial assumptions that people were making is only one disease was almost childlike and silly. It just turns out that it's just going to be more complex. And so in order to get any success, we're really going to have to grapple with that complexity. And this is just a stepping stone of that process.
Peter Nelson, it's been great to talk to you on the Health Report.
Hey, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. And my best to everybody down there, from your neighbors up here to the Northeast.
Peter Nelson is Professor of Pathology at the University of Kentucky.